Blog Talk Radio.
All the way.
Yes, Lord, lead us all the way. Welcome to Manna from Heaven. You all had a good night's sleep. As for me, I am excited about this week's Bible study. Very excited about tonight's prayer meeting. Don't forget, show up early, show up at 6:55, listen to a little bit of music before Sister Hart comes on. We have an exciting evening of instruction on prayer and prayer meeting lined up. The prayer meetings are just amazing. They're wonderful. People are calling in from all over the country. We have a sister calling in from Texas, another one calling in from Michigan, another one calling in from Illinois. We have another brother calling in from North Carolina. How do I know that? Well, I get the report. I read the phone numbers. I know where these people are. And if Brother Austin is calling in, that's somebody from Tennessee. They're calling in from all over, saints. We have a brother calling in from California. They're calling in because we're praying, and people want prayer. They want to seek the Lord. They're looking for a good church that will help them, facilitate them, aid them in seeking the Lord. These are people who are used to prayer meetings at their church, but the prayer meeting has been canceled. It's been discontinued. It's fallen out of favor. Nobody wants it anymore. And like the dinosaur, the prayer meeting has become extinct. And that's why the church is becoming extinct, because God's people are not seeking the only one who can save them. So tune in tonight, 6:55, and join us. Praise the Lord. Well, this week we're talking about God's exhaustive seeking. God's exhaustive seeking. Our scripture text is Ezekiel 34:11. It reads, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another day of life. for another day of being of right mind, another day of just being connected to Jesus, who is divine, and we are the branches, and we realize that he said that without him we can do nothing. Oh, Lord, thank you for keeping us connected to Jesus, the life source, our life source. We pray for anyone who is tuning in today, who is battling a mouth cold or is battling a fever or is just isn't feeling well. Father, we pray that you touch bodies right now in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, that by his merits and his stripes on the cross, we would be healed. Bless us today, Lord, as we look at the different nuances in the text that will further show us how delicate you are and how intrinsic you are in caring for us. You're delicate because you carry us in your caring arms. You love on us and you cradle us in your arms. And also you're intrinsic because you go to the root of things and you discover what it is that really ails us, not what we say ails us, but what really ails us. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Gather your sheep, Lord. Gather the sheep that are not at Grace, but that should be at Grace Church. Gather those sheep that for whatever reason have left. Could be they were hurt, someone hurt them, the pastor hurt them, or they just wandered off, they strayed off on their own because they had no interest in the things of God. Or the world became attractive to them and they left Jesus for the world. Help us, Lord, we pray. Gather your sheep, Lord. Do what no man can do. Gather your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we read Ezekiel 34:11, the last two portions of the text seem to be kind of redundant. It says, let's read the whole text. It says, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, and here comes the first part, will both search my sheep. And we could have ended, some people would say we could have ended the verse right there. But then God adds, and seek them out. And some people say, well, that last part is just redundant. If he searched for us, why is he seeking us out? Just ended with, he searched for us and found us, and that should be enough. But who are we to tell God what he will do for us? So looking at the word search in Hebrew and the word seek in Hebrew, we realize that there are two different Hebrew verbs. The word search is darash, and the word seek is bakar, two different Hebrew verbs. And they're not synonymous. To search and seek do not mean the same thing. The first word, search, or darash, means that God is covering ground. God is going from, let's say, you were in St. Johnsville and you wandered off, and God starts out in St. Johnsville, but then he goes to Palatine Bridge looking for you, and if he doesn't find you in Palatine Bridge, then he makes his way back and he goes to Little Falls. And he looks for you there, and if you're not there, he goes to Dodgeville, and he looks for you there. And if you're not in Dodgeville, he'll go to Herkimer and see, until he finds you. That's what the word search means. It means God covers much ground. God goes door to door. God does a grid search through the woods in order to find you. Now, once he finds you, then he seeks you. And that word seek means to sit you down. It's a one-on-one between you and the Good Shepherd. It's a one-on-one between you and your Heavenly Father. And he begins to probe in your heart and in your mind, and there's a discussion between you and him, the same way there's a discussion between a doctor and a patient, and God begins to find out what it is that ails you. Now, again, I'm using human language. Bakar is a word that is mainly applied to humans, but here it is applied to God. And so God doesn't have to probe like a doctor to find out what ails you. Now, I need to do that. When I sit down with people in counseling and we begin to talk and they begin to share and I begin to ask questions, I'm trying to find out what ails their hearts. And as they open up, I begin to discover, well, that's not God. God knows all things. But the word is used here to let us know that God is not only a shepherd, but he's the physician of the soul. And that whatever hurt you, whatever caused you to leave the church, he will fix it. He will mend it. He'll mend your broken heart. He'll mend your bruised feelings. You see, so he finds you first. He brings you back. He puts you in, you know, a room where now he looks you over and he begins to fix, as the great physician, he begins to fix what needs fixing in your heart. That's what it means to seek them out. It just might be that you fell out of love with God. And then he'll say to you what he said to the church of Ephesus, repent and remember where you have fallen and do the first things. Or it could be that somebody bruised you, broke a limb, spiritually speaking. A pastor, perhaps, spoke kind of harshly to you or embarrassed you in public. Perhaps you asked a question in a meeting and the pastor just made a mockery of your question and everybody joined in laughing and that just bruised your feeling and you decided that day you were never coming back. Whatever the reason. You see, my brothers and sisters, God wants to go to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter in your heart. And this is why he sits us down and he seeks them out. He's looking for that thing that has really hurt you and has caused you to be what we say in church lingo, church hurt, your church hurt. You've had a bad experience in a place where you should not have had a bad experience. But God seeks them out. Okay, today, let's look at an example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, seeking somebody out. Let's go to the Gospel of John, turn to page 2 in your outline, and here is Jesus, the searching and seeking shepherd. Remember that Jesus, well, God says in Ezekiel 34:11, I will both search and seek them out. Jesus goes looking for people, and then he goes looking for what ails them once he finds them. So Jesus, the searching, seeking shepherd, and the impotent man, the story is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. Now, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, verses 1 through 9 is the first portion. This is Jesus finding this lost sheep and seeking out what ails this lost sheep. This sheep is lost. This sheep is ailing, not just physically. This sheep is ailing emotionally. All right, so let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. This is the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, seeking out a lost sheep of the house of Israel, and once he seeks him out, he heals him. Not just physically, saints, he heals his heart. And that's what it means, I will seek them out. I will find out, I will probe, I will investigate, I will discover what ails them, and then heal it. John 5, starting at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Now, the Jews, let me just interject here for a moment. The Jews are supposed to be the sheep of the world. The Jews are sheep and the Gentiles are goats. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to work out. Okay, so after this, there was a feast of the Jews being the people of God, the sheep of his pasture, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, and blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain seasons into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the waters stepped into the pool was made whole of whatever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now look at that. Here's one of the people of God. Here's a Jew. Here's a covenant son of Abraham, and he's been at that pool sick, waiting for the troubling of the water, waiting to just jump into the pool, waiting to be the first one to get in to be healed. But he's had his sickness 38 years. Now, let's pause there for a moment. Jesus at this time, we can speculate. Jesus must be about 31 years of age. So if that's the case, give or take, if Jesus is 31, then this man was already there sick 7 years before Jesus was born in a manger. Think about, wrap your head around that, saints. If this man was sick, and he was sick for 38 years, and at this time Jesus meets him, and Jesus is 31, that means that that man was at that spot already, having been there 7 years before Jesus was born. And he's there, and he's sick. He's given up on life. Nobody cares about him. Nobody there to help him. The religious leaders, who cares? Well, what do they care? The man is living in misery. Verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lie, Jesus knew that he had been there a long time in that particular case, and said unto him, "Will you be made whole? Will thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answers him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm racing towards the pool, another person steps in before me." In other words, he beats me to the punch. "I've been trying to get into that pool for 38 years when the angel troubles the waters. And all 38 years I've failed to get there before somebody else. Somebody beats me to the pool. So that's why I'm here stuck. I'm on my 38th year." Now, Jesus said unto him, now notice, Jesus first finds the man. He first finds the man, which according to Ezekiel 34:11, that is to what? To search. That is to darash. That is to, Jesus is covering ground. Jesus is doing a grid search. He's looking for certain people whom God would save. This man, who's been sick for 38 years, Jesus finds him. Do you think it was by accident? No, it was purposeful. Jesus was looking for this man. And among all the people that are there, there's a great multitude. There's a vast number of people. And Jesus comes to this man who's been there, no doubt, the longest, 38 years. But today was going to be his day. Why? Because Jesus found him. Because Jesus says, I will search my sheep. That's what God did for me. That's what God did for you. One day, it wasn't by accident, came looking for you, and he came looking for me, and that was our day. That's the day we came to Christ. That's the day we gave our hearts to the Lord. This is how it works. And so here is Jesus. And Jesus says unto him, rise up, take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath day. It was the day of church. It was the Jewish day of church. That's what it was. Here's the good pastor. Here's Jesus. As the pastor of all pastors, what is he doing? On a day, listen to me, saints, on a day when the Jews were having church, Jesus was out searching for lost sheep and then teaching them what their problem was, which is to seek. Remember, we talked about the physician sitting across the patient. There you are, you know, you have your appointment with the doctor, and you're in this room, you're in this cubicle, and the doctor's saying, what ails you? What's bothering you? And then you say, it hurts here, and the doctor pulls your shirt or your blouse up and begins to touch and orders x-rays, and you discover you have two broken ribs. You see, this is what Jesus is doing with this one man. He's having this one-on-one conversation with this one man. And he's, now Jesus knows all about him, but he's asking him. And the questions are asked for our benefit so that the blanks can be filled in for us. Jesus already has all the answers. He knows everything about this man. He knew that day he was coming for this man. And the man fills in all the blanks. And Jesus makes him whole. You know, when people come to church on Sunday, they ought to be made whole. You see the difference between the wicked shepherds in Ezekiel 34 and the good shepherd Jesus, or any good shepherd who is a disciple of Jesus? You see, good shepherds heal bruises. Good shepherds find lost sheep. Wicked shepherds bruise the sheep, cause the bruising, inflict damage, and then they drive the sheep away. This is a sheep that's been driven away, driven into the land of utter despair. And there Jesus goes looking for him. This is what pastors ought to be doing, looking for hurting sheep. Looking for people with situations like the impotent man who have been in that situation for a long time. You see, my brothers and sisters, tradition, listen, when you get stuck in traditions, no one gets healed. See, we need to do... What I mean by tradition is when the church is allowed to get into a rut, nothing happens. Church ought to be exciting. Why ought church to be exciting? Because Jesus is here. Jesus never allows his people, Jesus never allows his congregation to get into a traditional rut where we're doing the same thing week after week after week, and there is no change in people's hearts, no healing of the impotent man. Around Jesus, always getting healed. Something was always happening when Jesus was present. And that's my prayer for Grace Church. My prayer is that every week as Jesus is present, lives would be touched and changed. That is proof that we are the people of God, that we have not grown stale, and that Jesus is in the house. Now, what's the reaction to this man? What's the reaction? Well, verse 10, let's read verse 10 through 18. And the Jews, remember, the Jews are supposed to be God's sheep. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is it the Sabbath day? Is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? And the healed man answered them, said, he that made me whole, he that healed me, he that took time to talk to me, he that had took time to seek me out and ask me pertinent questions about my individual case, he told me to take up my bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is this man which said unto thee, take thy bed and walk? Verse 13. And he that was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse 14. And afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple. Again, Jesus is looking for whom? He's looking for that sheep he had just brought back. Afterwards, Jesus found the impotent man that was cured in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 17, and Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, listen, I'm working today on the Sabbath because that's the day that God works. It may be a day of rest for you. Sunday may be a day of rest for us, but it's not a day of rest for the shepherds. Who's the shepherds? God the Father is a shepherd, according to Ezekiel 34:11. Jesus Christ is the shepherd, according to John 10 and Hebrews 13 and 1 Peter 5. The Holy Spirit is a shepherd, according to multiple verses in the book of Acts, particularly Acts 20. So God is working on Sunday. People may have Sunday off, but God is at work. What kind of work, you ask? Spiritual work, healing, bringing back, finding, searching, restoring, healing. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath in their minds, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. So note, what a beautiful story, a beautiful example of Jesus purposely looking for somebody and having found that person, then begins to ask them questions like a doctor would a patient, and then heals that ailment in that person's heart. This is what we're talking about. May God grace us today with that ministry. May God show up at St. Johnsville and begin to do a grid search. May he find all the sheep that belong to grace, and may he heal their ailments. Well, I'll be back tomorrow with another scripture story on how God is both searching and seeking out people whom he wants to heal and make part of his church. God bless you. Don't forget tonight, prayer, 6:55 p.m. I'll be waiting for you, and so will everyone else at Grace Church.
again.